Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective, as we have a very special show tonight. As something that we've been looking forward to is to talk more about Team Boneyard. And a gentleman that knows a lot about the Pirates, former football player and the Pat Dyer, of course, Board of Trustee member, and now working with Team Boneyard, which we're going to find out about, a great Pirate and making his debut on the Sports Objective, is Vern Davenport. Vern, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Dave, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
So let's talk about something we've hit, the buzzwords. We obviously love the term boneyard. We love the word team. You and I have been a part of teams over the years for different sports. But tell us about Team Boneyard. And for those of us that are trying to learn about the word, what the word collective means.
Well, Team Boneyard is the name of the collective representing the student athletes at East Carolina University, and trying to connect them effectively and compliantly, if you will, with the Pirate Nation. You know, the NCAA has opened the door for student athletes to monetize, if you will, their name, their image, and their likeness. So this is a effort to try to facilitate that connection in a way for which is efficient and compliant, and hopefully generate some, you know, in momentum and enthusiasm for the opportunity that the student athletes have to capitalize on their name, image, and their likeness.
And that's something that's very important when it comes to this day and era. Whether we like it or not, it's here. So why not? Yeah. We have a great fan base. Something I'm really happy about too. Another subject matter of Pirates Unite. Something that I've made a pledge, and hopefully a lot of people will do that. Having all the facilities upgraded, including a new indoor practice facility, another show, as they say. But the reason I bring that up is that we're trying to do everything we can, from the facility upgrades, having new facilities, plus now with this, with name, image, and likeness. So much going on in college sports right now, isn't it, Vern? I don't think I would have ever imagined we would get to this point, but here we are.
No, no doubt. It's a little bit of the wild, wild west. You know, when you crack a door open, obviously opportunity is presented and you step right in. And, you know, there's been a lot of activity in the space. And to your point, the NCAA's facilitated it, provided an opportunity. And what we want to do is ensure that the student athletes at ECU have an opportunity to capitalize on that, but do so in a way for which is in their best interest and the best interest of the university, and also is compliant, if you will, and compliant for a couple of directions. One, compliant with the NCAA and things of that nature, the athletic department, but also in construct of the university, things that the university has contracts with. We don't want a student athlete out advertising something that's in conflict of a decision the university's made with a vendor or something of that nature. So there's a lot of complexity to this. There's a lot of learning that's happening as a result of it. And I guess that's kind of what we're doing. We because of the NCAA enabling this, we felt like we needed to have a presence and create an opportunity for Pirate Nation to come together and have the student athletes capitalize on opportunities. And so far, so good, I think, as we're learning in the early days of Team Boneyard.
So a Team Boneyard, help me understand this, because it's new to me and new to all of us. Is that something that those of us that are individuals, even if you're not a business owner, can we give to that, to the cause, so to speak?
Yeah. So, a couple, two or three things. One, it is a not affiliated with the university in any shape, form, or fashion. It's an LLC. The LLC was formed by four members. I happened to be one of those members. We all contributed to it so that we could stand up a website and be able to conduct a little bit of commerce. That commerce is for those that want to donate to this effort. There's a way for them to go to teamboneyard.org and be able to donate to it. But it's also a mechanism for us to connect Pirate Nation to the student athletes and student athletes to Pirate Nation for opportunities for them to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. So it's a LLC, again, formed by four members. There's no overhead or profits or any of that nature that the LLC has taken as complete pass-through. But given the opportunity that the NCAA has enabled, and given how competitive collegiate athletics are, and given how passionate Pirate Nation is, we felt compelled to take some action, stand this up, and at least get us started. And I would say so far so good. So back to your original question, can you donate? Yes, go to the website, teamboneyard.org. There's buttons to be pressed relative to the amount that you'd like to contribute. That would go then into a bank account for which then we would facilitate opportunities for student athletes to engage in commerce or an activity for which they could get reimbursed for their name, their image, or their likeness.
Vern, I know one of the things that was really emphasized in the frequently asked questions part of the website is just how 100% of the donations at this point will go to the student athletes, but in the future, as this hopefully grows, that will not be the case because of obviously different operating costs. So if you would elaborate on that.
Well, you know, for example, what in maybe an optimal state as this thing grows, as you said, Bubba, is that we really create what I would call a marketplace where you could come into this website, you could look at the profiles of student athletes. And if you wanted a student athlete to come to a birthday party, or if you wanted a student athlete to come to a function, if you wanted a student athlete image to be a part of an advertisement, you'd be able to go look at the profiles of student athletes, select one, and then actually engage in the transaction itself. Here's what I'd like the student athlete to do. Here's how much I'm willing to pay. Will the student athlete accept it? If so, we basically facilitate that transaction, hopefully take the money electronically, also make the payment electronically, and withhold taxes so that student athletes don't get in trouble relative to the IRS obligations of the money they're now making, which, by the way, is part of the education process of this. So to do that, it would require an investment in some technology, some software, maybe some administrative staff, things of that nature. And if we get to that point in time, obviously, there'll be some costs that will have to be incurred in that transaction to pay for those expenses. But as of this point in time, all the website and everything that we've done so far has been funded by the four founders of this. And there's no overhead or any kind of administrative fee that currently is being taken from any donation or as a part of any transaction.
And then currently, obviously, you have guys like Holton Ehlers and Mason Garcia, et cetera, that have NIL deals. But just if you would elaborate, and there's so many different types of transactions, as you said, that can occur, you know, be it, you know, you may want Keaton Mitchell to come to your son's birthday party, you know, what have you. So if you would elaborate some on that, where people can pay a fee for Keaton Mitchell or Holton Ehlers or whomever to come to a birthday party or something of that nature. Or you could have something, you know, where maybe you're just contributing to the fund, and talk about in that case, those funds that are not directed towards specific team or individual, how those would be used.
Yeah. So the first one's easier than the second one. So on the first one, if you own a business or you have an opportunity as just as an individual and you want a student athlete to participate in that event, let's just make a simple example. You'd like for them to come to your kid's birthday party. So it's kind of an appearance, if you will, and you're willing to pay $100 for X athlete to do so. That's a simple transaction where you go, the obligation of the athlete is to appear at this party, want them to appear for an hour, that student athlete appears and they get paid that $100. So there has to be some meaningful transaction or some transaction for the exchange of the money to be paid for, quote unquote, that name, that image, and that likeness. but there really are no rules relative to how the scope of that, you know, what the scope of that is. It might be, I want the student athlete to do one tweet, and that might be worth something substantial to one business, where if I want them to come to a birthday party, something less substantial from a compensation standpoint. The most important thing is that there is a transaction, an obligation on behalf of the student athlete. Someone's willing to pay for that. The student athlete fulfills that obligation. We also need to make sure that obligation is not in violation of any compliance or any university rules and regulations. So hopefully we're going to play a role in that, working with the compliance office of the university. And once that student athlete fulfills that obligation, they therefore have earned the money. And as of now, we don't have any role in the IRS implications of that. But clearly, if you're making income, there's IRS implications. So we want to make sure that that in the future we'll be able to do that. So that's a simple transaction. And that could be for anything. And I can give you some current examples of what's happening. It was happening just recently as a result of the collective and student athletes. On the second point, just giving to the website, that's fantastic, because what we can do at that point in time is pull that money for a transaction. So it may be that there's an opportunity for a student athlete, but maybe we could engage another student athlete in that NIL deal as a result of having additional funds to do that. And this isn't just about, in my view, football and basketball. This is about all sports, both men and women's sports. So one of the things that I love is having an opportunity to create NIL opportunities for the non-major sports athletes. And one of the founders of the collective here, Travis Burt and his family, are using this opportunity to support the women's lacrosse team, and each member of the women's lacrosse team having an NIL deal, for which Travis and his family have supported and committed to. So it's just a phenomenal way of connecting those constituencies. But again, this is not the Pirate Club. This is not associated with the university. It really is trying to create a marketplace for commerce between Pirate Nation and our student athletes, for them to get paid for their name, their image, and likeness. You know, an old story, because it's been a long time since I played football, but you guys know where Carolina East Mall is. Well, Carolina East Mall was actually opened when I was playing football, and three or four of us got invited to, quote unquote, open up the mall. So I kicked the football on top of that, barely, but kicked the football on top of that mall as the official opening of that mall. Now, I didn't get paid for that. Back in that day, it wasn't allowed. But today, the student athletes could be paid an appearance fee to do something like that. An example just recently I heard about today is one of the founders of the collective was having a conversation with a business owner, and they were talking about a advertising campaign. And there was an idea of maybe using a couple of student athletes as a part of that campaign. Idea was accepted. Opportunity was created. Student athletes engaged in something that now we have an opportunity to connect those two constituencies and allow the student athletes to, you know, obviously take the opportunity to monetize their likeness, but also it gives them an opportunity to engage in commerce at a time for which money is important to them, but also the learning of a business transaction is important to them as well, as a part of their growing up and maturing and their college experience.
Burn. We have Mark Calloway chiming in on YouTube. He said, how do you set the priority on who gets what? And you've kind of you've gone in that direction and addressed that to a degree. But, you know,
Let me make one more comment on that. So there's a couple of levels of this. So a simple transaction would be Mark may have a business. Mark may want to engage Holton Ahlers in a promotion of some sort. Mark goes, I'd like for Holton to do X. I'm willing to pay Y. Holton agrees to it. It meets compliance. They facilitate that transaction. That could be done inside or outside the collective, right? So there's no requirement that it come through Team Boneyard. But what I hope is that Team Boneyard will become that trusted site, source, marketplace, if you will, to ensure that transaction is compliant. And given how, wild this environment is, I think having a tight rein on trying to do things the right way and in a compliance way is real important to us here at Team Boneyard, but also important to the university and important to our student athletes. In the future, if there is a ever increasing pool of funds that aren't specifically allocated to a transaction, The conversation that we've been having in the early days is to form an advisory board that would basically make those decisions, if you will, as to where that money goes. I gave an example of, let's say $5,000 is accrued into the Team Boneyard account, if you will. There's an opportunity. Well, because we've got $5,000, maybe that opportunity we could spread it to a couple of student athletes, or maybe to a team, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, try to find an opportunity, find ways to create more and more opportunities across all the sports and student athletes at ECU.
There's Larry O'Rourke says, looking good, number five. Good stuff explaining things. Does my $2,000 paint job at a gas station snack bar count as income in 1979? Laughing out loud.
And tell Larry he's not reported it to the IRS. So he probably needs to go do that so he doesn't get more tax trouble. Good to see you, Larry.
If you have any questions for Vern, you can obviously put them in the chat, as Mark and Larry have. And obviously on YouTube and Facebook, people watching tonight. Vern, so glad to have you. I'm very excited. It's a very exciting time. I know it's always great to be a Pirate, even in good and bad times, Vern. But now is a great time to have this discussion on Team Boneyard, especially when one of my questions I had was, can you talk about you talk about four people, you're one of the four. Can you talk about the other four? One of them is a good man that gave me my first radio job. So I love a lot.
Well, David, we've got some really passionate Pirates, but Travis Burt is one of the four founders. You know, Travis is a great Pirate, and so is his wife, Cassie, who I had the pleasure when I was chair of the board and chairing the Chancellor Search Committee, had Cassie on that search committee, and she subsequently became a member of the ECU Board of Trustees. So Travis's wife, Cassie, is on the board, and Travis is a great Pirate. Clearly, you were referring to Henry Hinton, a very passionate Pirate, and his son, Hank. So we were the four. Obviously, with their knowledge of the radio business and advertising business, you know, this is right down their swim lane of expertise. So it's been great to work with them. But something that is important to me, and I think, you know, shed some perspective on the approach here is, you know, Henry was on the UNC Board of Governors. So he really understands the compliance issue and the complexity of this and the opportunity of this. And again, as I mentioned, Travis and Cassie being on the Board of Trustees today, obviously compliance and doing things the right way. And clearly, you know, I was a student athlete, again, way back before helmets, but you know, have an appreciation of the opportunity that student athletes have, but having served on the board, have sensitivity to the needs of the athletic department and the university and also the student athletes. So this isn't as some of these are reported, you got some rich boosters. We're not rich boosters throwing a bunch of money at this, going out and doing whatever they're doing. You know, you can't recruit prospects to the university through this. You're not to use this for pay for play. This is not what this is. This is for student athletes to have an opportunity to engage in a quote-unquote business transaction, whether it's an appearance fee, a birthday party, signing a autograph, or doing a commercial, or whatever the opportunity is, to be able to engage in that and to monetize that opportunity. And what we want to do is create as many of those as we possibly can for the good of the student athletes and also the good for Pirate Nation. This is there's got to be a benefit that comes from the appearance, and we want to provide as many of those opportunities as we can.
Yeah, Vern, here in the last couple weeks, I'm sure you may have seen this, Texas Tech made the announcement that each of their 85 scholarship football players would be getting $25,000, and that they would have a select 15 walk-ons that would also receive that $25,000, and then that would soon be filtering into the men's basketball program and also a baseball program. And, you know, obviously, you know, something like that would be down the road, but is that something that Team Boneyard could eventually, you know, make that decision to do something like that for athletes across a variety of sports?
Yeah, I just don't know where this goes. And I think what we want to do here is we want to have a competitive athletics program at East Carolina University. Fortunately or unfortunately, name, image, and likeness and the ability to facilitate those opportunities is part of that. If the and I don't know who funded that 25, it didn't come from the university because the university can't fund name, image, and likeness opportunities. So some booster has funded that. So if they're paying $25,000 for 85 players plus 15 walk-ons, that came from some series of boosters, and we'll see how long that is sustainable, if you will. But we're going to try to do the best we can to create an environment to be competitive. Competitive first and foremost for the interest of student athletes and for Pirate Nation. But at the same time, this isn't the Pirate Club. So the Pirate Club still has all the needs that it had to pay for scholarships. And, you know, the state of North Carolina does not fund athletics. That has to be done through the Pirate Club and the fundraising there. So that's critically important. And we don't want to compete with that. Right. So, you know, I still give my money to the Pirate Club. I got a long way to go to pay my scholarship back for the opportunity I had to play football at East Carolina University. So we don't want to compete with that, but we also want to provide that opportunity for student athletes, given the NCAA has enabled us to be able to do so. I don't know where this goes. You know, just the rumors you hear about the amount of money. I'd love to see Pirate Nation be in that kind of financial situation to do that, but I'm not expecting it. But if we get there, hopefully Team Boneyard will be a part of facilitating it in a fair, compliant way in the best interest of the university.
Kyle Barber chiming in. I appreciate Kyle's thoughts on this topic. I'm unable to take part in the show in his traditional sense, but Kyle says, with only so many donors out there, money only goes so far. Does it get to a point where something like an NIL collective is almost in competition with a booster club such as the Pirate Club for the same money? Ultimately, the goal is all the same, the success of the university's athletics programs, but how do we make booster clubs and collectives able to coexist and work together?
Well, we're going to do the best we can. You know, the good thing here is we have a great relationship with our athletic director, John Gilbert. Got a lot of respect for him. He certainly is super experienced in this industry and well connected in this industry, and has given us great guidance as we have, you know, everything that we do, we try to do in partnership with John, meaning he's got an understanding of the questions that we have, and we've got an understanding of how he'd like for the collective to engage student athletes. You know, one great example of that is, you know, can a student athlete wear an ECU hat? Or the ECU brand, or any of the logo as they participate in these name, image, and likeness. You know, they're to monetize their name, image, and likeness, but not necessarily the university's image and likeness and logos, et cetera, et cetera. So working with John to try to figure, you know, that sort of thing out. Also, the university can put some rules and some boundary conditions around this, so they have the latitude to do so. As of this moment in time, they haven't. What has happened is NCAA has enabled it. The governor signed a executive order that enabled it. So we have the opportunity to create this collective, and, you know, we'll just kind of see where it goes. We're learning every day from, you know, others' experiences, and the word has just started getting out. I'm not sure that Pirate Nation across the board has, you know, grand awareness of what's being created here in the opportunity. So there's a lot of learning that Pirate Nation has to create, but we're not here to compete with the Pirate Club. We're here to work in harmony with the Pirate Club and facilitate something that the Pirate Club and the university can't facilitate, that's in the best interest of our student athletes.
If you're just joining us, we have with us now Vern Davenport, former football player of the Pat Dye era at East Carolina, Board of Trustee member, and now with Team Boneyard. And Brian Pays, B Pays, says, if another NIL group gets together for ECU, we look to work with them or just be separate entities?
You know, heck, I don't know. I think it's a really, really good question. You know, I've got a full-time job. I've got six daughters. I got one getting married next week. I got a lot to do here. So it's not my, you know, this is not my full-time gig. And I would say the same thing's true for the other members. So if another NIL collective got stood up, that served the interest of the university, and it was either better support, whatever. You know, I could see all of those scenarios where maybe they come together, maybe we disband this one, you know, whatever. So we're not trying to create competition. And again, we're not getting anything from it other than this was enabled. Others got started. We needed to start and create something so that we could learn and engage. And that's simply what we've done. And though we've had is a PR announcement and a little bit of publicity like we're getting tonight to get the word out, I've been really positively pleased with the response and the participation. People have come in and they've donated. Opportunities have been brought in and student athletes have engaged. Those things may or may not have happened without this collective. It's not $20 million, but it is, you know, something to get us started. So we're learning along the way. So there's no preordained outcome for this. All we're doing is creating an opportunity for facilitation of this, and we'll see where it goes.
No doubt, Vern, a lot of people chiming in tonight, including, I guess that's one of your former teammates, Larry of Work. he has another question he's putting up as well. I think Bubba, if we can get to that in just a second. But Vern, while we have you, obviously with this collective is very fascinating. I know, can you give that website again? It's teamboneyard.org, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Teamboneyard.org. All one word. So you can go to that website. There's frequently asked questions. There's an overview of what it is. There's opportunities to contribute and place the ask questions. So please, if you get any interest whatsoever, want to just learn, please go to that that website. And it's at the top of the screen here, teamboneyard.org. It's not an email address, but it's a website.
In fact, Kyle Barber says, Vince McMahon could use some positive media exposure right now. Can we hit him up to take part in the collective?
You know, I don't know much about what Vince has got going on. I've seen a little bit of that, and he's probably got a lot taking his attention away from this at the moment. So we'll see where that goes when he gets through those challenges. But stepping away from an empire that he's built has got to be a challenging time for him.
Vern, somebody that my kids love very much, and I do too. We're loving YouTube, and we're on YouTube right now for those that don't know, and Facebook streaming right now live. How about somebody like Mr. Beast? I've heard so many people on message boards, at tailgates, different things, people saying, can we just get Mr. Beast to just cough up 20 mil?
Yeah. I don't unfortunately know Mr. Beast. I know who Mr. Beast is, and I continue to be amazed at what Greenville can produce. And I guess he's considered one of the gems of Greenville. And you see him in and around the university. Obviously, Sup Dogs is a place where I think he can be seen, but you know, he's got quite a global followership and global reputation for the success of what he's built and his brand. And we certainly have a lot that we could learn from him. And certainly, we'd love to have more engagement, both in his time, his attention, his expertise, and his financial wherewithal. Love to meet him.
Now, you being a former letter winner, is there an initiative or anything? Have you thought about having letter winners or challenges out there? There's a lot of great pirates in different sports over the years that could contribute to a collective like Team Boneyard.
Yeah, so we haven't yet, and actually we had a call yesterday trying to figure out how we could capitalize on opening game weekend against State. You know, it's going to be extraordinarily well attended. Very much look forward to, and given that everybody's going to be in Greenville, it's a opportunity for us to create some gatherings where we could tell the story and get some engagement. You know, candidly, on the student athlete letter winner side, the Pirate Club has got a renewed focus there, has generated or created a East Carolina Letter Winners Club, for which trying to get everyone to join as a part of the Pirate Club. I very much support that, and there seems to be some good momentum. Hopefully through that, we'll be able to introduce this to see if there's opportunities for former athletes to engage and support. And it doesn't take a lot of money. So interestingly, you hear about all the multi-million dollar things that are going on. And, you know, what you described earlier is an example of all the players on the football team, But, you know, just creating a simple opportunity where someone got an NIL deal, where it could be a lacrosse player or a soccer player or a softball player or a baseball player, that's pretty significant. It's not about the money. It's about that they were able to monetize in some form or fashion their name, their image and likeness. And you know, that is a, you know, I think that's something that they all strive to achieve. So it doesn't have to be a heck of a lot of money for it to be a meaningful thing to a student athlete. So we don't have to think about, though it'd be great to go raise multi-million dollars to support this and everything that we're doing at university as well. Just something simple and you know, nominal from a financial standpoint is meaningful in this name, image, and likeness new world that we're in.
I just had one, appreciate your time tonight. I know that we've gone a little bit long with you. I had one final observation or thing. I was just thinking about the app. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Cameo, where people record videos for people and they charge them out. I was just thinking about all the different athletes. If you're a huge Pirate fan, what a great Christmas gift. If you get Holton Ahlers or Bryson Worrell or any basketball player, any athlete, to record a video for your loved one and have them wish them a Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. We have a lot of people like Brett and Diane Pons, a great couple that they have like an anniversary. You can say a happy anniversary to the Pons or whatever from an athlete. Stuff like that I can imagine would be really cool and a way to make more money for NIL for these players.
Yeah, the only thing that has to happen is there has to be some obligation. The obligation has to be fulfilled for the money to transfer. It could be a very simple thing or a very complex thing. The athlete has to agree and has to be compliant. So those are kind of the rules. Outside of that is, you know, anything kind of goes, which is great in some respects and scary as heck in others. And we're all learning. So this, you know, everybody who has got access to this and has listened to this, all ideas are welcome because we certainly don't have all the answers. We're learning along the way as well. So we've had through the leadership of Hank and Henry and Travis, we got this thing stood up. We've got an opportunity to talk about it. Now we got to go do something with it. So we're kind of at that stage of now let's go do something with it. And coming into the what I think is a football season for which we've got great anticipation for, basketball season, which we've got great anticipation for. We got some opportunities to build some momentum around this. And again, hopefully it'll fit well with the Pirate Club, the university, and be good for our student athletes and be a place where if you come to East Carolina University, you know, you have an opportunity to be able to create some value out of your name, image, and likeness.
Well, I sound like a politician when I say it's a very exciting time, like I was saying earlier in the interview, the beginning of the show, but it really is an exciting time to watch all this stuff unfold. And thank you for spending the time with us tonight, making your debut on the Sports Objective. And hopefully you won't be a stranger. We'll tell your good friend, Terry Gallagher, hello for you.
Well, please do that. Larry and Terry are two great Pirates. They were two great football players. And it was an honor for me to serve a little time with them. I mostly got them water, what I mostly did when I was there. But that was better. Look, guys, I appreciate the opportunity and appreciate you guys supporting us, getting the word out. Thank you all.
All right. I hope you have a great night. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. Go Pirates.
Go Pirates.
Good night.
Good night.
Appreciate Vern very much. Obviously, with Team Boneyard and a guy that we think a lot of, obviously, a big game coming up September 3rd. Very patient in the green room. And Johnny, the first time we've had you on the show with our technology. We've been doing it actually a couple of years, but with StreamYard, a great way that we can stream on YouTube and Facebook. Actually, we're doing it live. Johnny has been part of the show for the last couple of years with us, coming on talking about NC State. And of course, you're the analyst for the Wolfpack Network. Johnny, so great to have you on and great to have you back again this year.
Good. Thank you, Dave and Bubba. It's always good to speak with you guys. And I guess it makes it extra special for all of us because of the first game that's coming up here in just a little over a month.
It really is. I can't believe, you know, Bubba is actually not only we're co-hosting the show, but also does a great job of research. He cracks the numbers, but it is hard to believe. Is it really year 9 for Dave Doran, Johnny?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, you say if Bubba's research says it, don't question it, right?
That's right. That's right. I guess that makes sense, but time is really flying. He had a great year last year And one of the things, Johnny, that I wanted to talk to you about, and that I was upset for both the baseball and football program before we even talk about it, is what COVID-19 did for the Wolfpack program. I know that we're rivals on the field and the diamond, baseball diamond, but when you look at the human, you take the jerseys off, Johnny, and you look at the human being side of things, when you have Ellie and Avent have a great team, goes to the College World Series, and the whole COVID thing happened then, and then to have both East Carolina and NC State both have, let's face it, bowl teams to back out on them. I don't, you guys had UCLA, we have Boston College. It was, that's something else I guess we have in common, but a very weird and strange bowl season. Just want to get your thoughts on those situations, and then we can talk current stuff.
Well, it certainly was strange for most of us that aren't as important to the game, talking about coaches and players. But can you imagine being a parent? I'm a parent of some former players that went to bowl games. And can you imagine going, flying out to California, being at the stadium? And remember, this is just a few hours. I think the players had not yet quite left for the stadium when they got the word. But I guarantee you, a lot of parents are out there, you know, getting excited, ready to see their sons and loved ones play. And just how heartbreaking, I guess, is really the right word. Confusing, probably, you know, information. What kind of information is going around? What's rumor? What's real? What's happening? And bottom line is the reality, there's not going to be a game. And the players are, you know, sent back home the following day. And so, you know, it's unfortunate. There's already been enough finger pointing and blame and conversation about that last year. I think, frankly, I know the NC State folks, I'm sure Coach Houston and his folks have already put it behind them. It's time to start anew. It's not a mark against State or ECU. They showed up. They were ready to play, and their opponents couldn't field a team. And so that's just the reality of the world that we live in, this COVID world that we're all living in.
No question about it. Certainly with when it comes to this bowl game, September 3rd, I can't, you obviously follow the NC State program close a lot closer than I do, but to me, this is the biggest hype I've seen probably since, would you say the Phillip Rivers day with Chuck Amato, Torrey Holt, those guys?
Mm-hmm. Probably maybe more so, Dave, because, you know, when Phillip came in, there was still a lot of unknown. I mean, he was a freshman, highly touted, big, you know, came in early, had a spring under his belt, and there was a lot of excitement, but they didn't know what to expect. People didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what to expect of Phillip. We hoped things, but we didn't know. But this crowd now, the Wolfpack Nation now, they've watched Devin Leary play. I mean, they've seen the young man play at what I would say, you know, the highest level. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a Heisman candidate necessarily. I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback in college football, but I wouldn't take anybody else for him, you know. So, I mean, that's how good he has played, how well he has played. And then you got some returning injured guys, some key guys on defense, like a Peyton Wilson and Isaiah Moore, that played again at a very, very high level, and before they were injured. And Peyton, unfortunately, early in the second game of the season last year, missed the rest of the season. Isaiah, I think, is maybe the sixth game of the season. So they're, you know, scheduled to be back, and they'll be two of the best players and the leaders on a defense that should be pretty good. So for all those reasons, there's a lot of hype, but with the hype, you know what can happen. You know, NC State fans that are listening, they know what can happen. It's got to be more than hype. It's got to be execution. And that's what everybody's excited to see, starting against a very good, highly respected. I know Coach Doran respects Mike Houston and his program and the team. And I haven't done enough scouting for ECU. I just what I read about and hear about, but I know I'm very, very respectful of, you know, ECU for a first game for NC State.
Hey, Johnny, you were a quarterback yourself. Talk about Devin Leary. Obviously, there are plenty of Pirate fans that have probably seen him play quite a bit, but for those who haven't, tell us about his game.
Really strong arm. Throws the deep ball really, really well. Had some receivers that, you know, we talk about 50-50 balls, meaning, you know, you throw it up and the receiver has at least a 50% chance of coming down with it. But when Devin got to the point where he was throwing it up and his receivers, you felt like at least the stats would bear it out that they maybe were 70%, 75%, 80% chance the receiver did of coming down with the ball. So when you've got that kind of confidence as a quarterback, when the receivers have that kind of confidence in the quarterback, you're going to make some big plays. So big arm, throwing the ball down the field. The second thing I say about him is toughness. You know, he showed a lot of toughness. He broke a leg, had a horrible break of a leg, you know, just as he was getting things rolling. What was it? A couple years ago. And you know, had to fight back and regain, you know, his equilibrium. And he certainly did that last year. And so toughness, big arm, and playmakers around him. And there's going to be some different names that are going to have to make some plays this year than previous years.
And, Johnny, that you obviously in the business, you know, the nice segue for me, that was, you must have read my mind. That was my next question around him, around Leary. Can you talk about the skill talent around him this year on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the question marks. You know, the two top running backs, that both of them rushed for, you know, 600-800 yards last year, are playing in the NFL this year. And so the third running back from last season that really only rushed for a couple hundred yards, Jordan Houston, he's slated to be the starter. There's some young guys again. There's some freshmen. There's guys that you know have a lot of potential, but again, potential is not what you're really looking for at this level. You're looking for proven entities, and so Jordan Houston's going to have to carry the load. He's much smaller than both Bam Knight and Ricky Person, the two guys I was talking about that carried the load the last couple of years. So that's a question mark. Okay, so, you know, how's the running game going to be? And then you take away Ike Ekwonu, the left tackle, who was the human pancake maker. You know, went I think number two or three in the draft this past year, and the best offensive lineman in college football. So you lose him, you lose your two best runners. Got to be a question mark, you know, in the running game. But in the passing game, you got Devin Carter that's coming back as a receiver. He is the big play guy. He's a big guy. He made some of the most unbelievable circus catches. I guarantee you he was on the ESPN top 10 at least three or four weekends during the season with just these amazing kind of catches, the bobbling and going up and making all kind of gyrations with his body, tremendous physical stature. So Devin Carter is going to be the main go-to guy for down the field. Thayer Thomas is the slot man. He's in his fifth year now, a fifth-year junior because of COVID. And Thayer Thomas, yeah, when it's third and less than 10, you better get two people on Thayer Thomas defensively because he just has that knack. He's kind of the Edelman type guy, you know, that Tom Brady had for all those years with the Patriots. And so those are some of the big play guys that Devin is going to be able to rely on.
Johnny, you've already referenced a couple of the pieces on the defensive side of the ball, but Dave Dorn and his staff have really assembled a lot of defensive talent, to say the least. You know, each level of the defense, be it the line, linebackers, or the secondary, you know, most publications are ranking those units in the top three or four, if not first, within the ACC. So tell us about the Pack defense.
Yeah, I mentioned Peyton Wilson coming back from injury. He's he's like a human missile out there, just reckless. Honestly, I think that the coaches have been working with him. He throws his body around. He's been off injured, and he's going to have to sort of change, I think, without changing his aggressiveness, maybe change some of the recklessness in which he plays. At least I'm going to be looking to see that, hoping to see that from Peyton Wilson. That's at the wheel linebacker position. But Tanner Engel, the free safety, he is the smaller version of Peyton Wilson. He's doing the same thing. And Tanner also has dealt with injuries, knocks himself out of the game because of the way he attacks the ball. And so you got somebody, you know, at the second level, Peyton Wilson. You got somebody at the back level, Tanner Engel, that's coming from a bigger running start. So you're going to see a lot of collisions. They show up on film. I guarantee you, when the ECU players start watching video and tape of ECU of NC State, those are the two guys that are going to just show up, you know, on tape. I got a guy, down lineman, Corey Durden. He's a transfer from Florida State. Played his first year last year. Decided not to go pro, to come back. By the way, in general, most of NC State's players decided to come back. There's a lot of fourth-year guys, fifth-year guys, and sixth-year super seniors, because they decided that instead of go other places, go to the transfer portal or to go to the NFL. And so Corey Durden is one of those guys. He's an NFL kind of guy that's going to be putting his hand in the ground, or sometimes he's going to go out to defensive end and come from the edge. So those are some of the players. Drake Thomas, another guy. Thayer Thomas's younger brother is another linebacker that's getting a lot of looks, a lot of preseason attention. Those are going to be the names that you're going to hear the most from in that ECU game.
Johnny, one of the guys that I know you said you haven't done a lot of research, but one of the guys that was actually recruited by Dave Doran several years ago was Holt Nailers. He's a guy that's the fifth-year starter. I think that we actually saw a clip of, I don't know if they were definitely anchors for WRL, but excuse me, my cat's jumping over there. Anything's possible on this show. I wanted to ask you, as far as we were disappointed with, there was some talk about how NC State could come down to Greenville and, like, in other words, you know, put a hurting on us. And it was not obviously NC State folks, so I want to be very clear on that. But it was disappointing, because the reason I bring that up is you were talking about research. I don't think they've done their research. There's a lot of guys. One of the things that I think they're thinking about is the 2018 game. We were supposed to play Virginia Tech, and we got scheduled last minute. It was the last year Montgomery gets fired, I think, on a Tuesday. Like, it was November 29th of 2018, and we, like, literally it was the worst possible thing that could happen to a program, coach getting fired of the week of all things, the NC State game. No excuse, but that was like 58-3, and then 2019 didn't go well for the Pirates. But a lot of things have happened since then. And as you know, as a former player, we don't ever talk. We were talking about earlier in the interview about last season, only because of the strange things that happened with COVID. But I don't think there's a lot of people giving us a chance, East Carolina, to win the game. But if you look at the series overall, just because it's the best team on paper doesn't mean they'll also win. There's been times, and like Skip Holtz era, where NC State beat East Carolina when East Carolina was ranked nationally.
Yeah, no question. I mean, to me, I've always loved to be in the position that ECU is in this game. They are this danger. And you better believe that Coach Doran isn't going to overlook anybody, Naylor or anybody else, for ECU. You're right. I mean, those games, in his mind, I guarantee you, were just aberrations. Those, you know, big wins. That was an entirely different world. You know, different life. I don't think anybody that's going to actually participate in that game, that'd be players and coaches, are going to come out lackadaisical, going to come out overconfident, going to come out overlooking anybody or any kind of preparation, you know, for ECU. It's for me as a broadcaster, it's one of those trap games, scary games, you know, because of, again, the hype that we talked a little bit earlier about, Dave, that State's been getting. And I promise you, I haven't sat in on any meetings per se, but I know Dave Doran well enough that he has already been talking a lot to his team about, you guys start overlooking this team, and this season, instead of getting off to a great start, is going to get off. You're going to be totally deflated by a really good football team from down in Greenville.
No question about it. We wanted to mention about the future series with both teams. The next will be in 2025 in Raleigh. They're Carter Finley, and then back in Greenville in 2028. Those are the two. And one of the things I know, Coach Logan, former East Carolina head coach, he said if he were the NC State coach, I remember him saying this, he said, I would schedule East Carolina every single year. And he was talking about how big of a rival, and then that way, you were talking about a trap game. It would be a trap game because it would be, I don't know necessarily football-wise, it'd be up there with NC State, North Carolina, but the players would definitely know this is a big in-state rival for the Pac.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's so close. There's such closeness. There's friendships. There's, if not friendships, there's acquaintances. These guys are going recruiting trips together. Some they play in all-star games together, the East-West game if they're from North Carolina, the Shrine Bowl if they're from North or South Carolina. So there's a lot of synergy with the closeness that comes with it. I'm with you. You know, I think if it was an annual affair, you would see a lot of good come from it, but. You know, we got to take what we can get. And we're grateful that we're going to be able to play in 25 and in 28.
No question. In fact, Johnny, with this ball game, one of the things for both programs, whenever East Carolina plays in Raleigh or vice versa, when NC State plays in Greenville, there's a lot of fans there. I suspect it'll be over 51,000 there on September 3rd, don't you?
I do. No, I would expect standing room only. I would expect a raucous crowd and a lot of energy, and probably the team that kind of can come out of the gate, which you would think ECU would be able to come out with a whole lot of energy being at home in this particular game. And if State can kind of match their energy, I think that's going to be one of the keys to this first game.
Now, Johnny, obviously you're not an athletic administrator, so I'm not asking you to speak for Boo Corrigan, but, you know, with this series, you know, going back to 2010, it's pretty much been played every 3 years, alternating sites. So, you know, where do you see this moving forward?
No, I mean, I really think that the powers that be, those you're right. Nobody's called me and asked for my opinion about scheduling ever. It's especially not about this particular game, but if they were to ask me, it seems like you'd be able to figure that one out, you know, just come up with a plan just because of the proximity and because of, you know, all the things that I just mentioned earlier and a few moments ago. It's it just makes sense to me. I remember when I played back in the 70s, it was the Pat Dye years there at ECU. My coach was Lou Holtz, and it was a big game for us, you know, back then. And I love that call. Again, there were a lot of guys that I knew that were on ECU's team. So it just adds a little bit of, I don't know, something special about that rivalry.
No doubt. One of the things, Johnny, that concerns me is with all this talk about, obviously, with USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten and all this conference realignment, one of the things you hear about teams breaking away, I've heard NC State going to the SEC, and it worries me that is it possible that we could lose rivalries that are great in-state rivalries like ECU, NC State because of all this, or would it be that somehow that they would still play each other?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it'd be a shame, wouldn't it, Dave, if that were the case. I mean, we're all not naive, you know, we realize that money is driving the decisions, you know. So I mean, and let's face it, I mean, we don't necessarily begrudge that, but at the same time, you'd like to think there's some way to keep some balance in there, some sense of perspective. You can still go after the money. There's enough money. There's TV money, but you can still have these kinds of rivalries and still make money. Everybody can be happy, and you know, I just don't think that's a naive approach. I think that's a realistic approach.
No question about it. With NC State, we're hearing about, like I said, the rumors. I don't know if that's true, but one of the things that's been crazy for me with the modern day ACC, and you don't have to comment because I know that you work for the Wolfpack, but for Duke and NC State not to play every year in football is just absolutely crazy to me.
Well, it's strange when you look at the schedule every year, and that's usually one of the games I look to see. Is Duke going to be on the schedule this year? Because, I mean, you're talking what, 20 minute drive, I mean, apart. So all that proximity talk that I was talking about between Greenville and Raleigh, it's even that much more for Duke there in Durham. So, yeah, that's crazy.
No doubt. And certainly with football, I know with Dave has been able to put a lot of people in the NFL. After this year, is there – I haven't had a chance to look to the roster either, fair point for NC State yet, getting ready to here once we get into the month of August. But will Dave Doran lose a lot of seniors? We were talking about earlier with the 4 or 5 year guys when it comes to after this season. This is kind of like, I hate to use a term because we haven't played a game yet, potentially a miracle season, knowing that you've got a lot of guys leaving, meaning that they're going to graduate.
Yeah, I think it is a critical season for just for the mere fact, we know Devin Leary's not going to be, he's going to be playing in the NFL in the fall of 2023. And so anytime you change quarterbacks and, you know, NC State's had to do it with Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson, you know, and Ryan Finley, and guys that played, you know, 3-4 years, you got comfortable, you got stable, you knew what you had there at that quarterback position. That's what Devin Leary brings to the table. And when you don't have him, this is not a slam against the guys that are behind him. This is just the reality. They're unproven. The guys that behind Devin Leary are unproven. Let me add, like Devin was when he struggled as a freshman. So again, you know, it takes time at that position, and that is the most critical position. So just using that as an example, Dave, to me, yeah, I think this is an important year for NC State to try to make hay while the sun is shining, as they say, and try to put together a really special year. And I think that's what NC State fans are looking toward.
And Johnny, before we let you go, I know, again, you've been with us a long time too. You have a coach that we used to have in Greenville wearing purple and gold and now wearing red and white. Is that right with Ruffin McNeil?
It is hard to get used to seeing Ruffin in red and white, but you know, have you ever seen Ruffin when he didn't have that gigantic smile and that presence? And so, you know, so I mean, to me, when I see him, he transcends the color of hat that he's wearing, you know, on the sidelines. He is quite the gentleman, and somebody that, what, you know, we played against each other. He broke my heart my senior year when he didn't intercept the pass. He threw a pass out in the flat. It was the last play of the game. If my back scores, you know, we win the game. But Ruffin comes up and makes a tackle on the 2-yard line, drops our back on the 2-yard line, and the game's over. And I don't know that I've ever still forgiven Ruffin for that. But, yeah, it is kind of funny to see him in red and white.
While we have you, can you give us your thoughts this year on the outside of NC State as far as the ACC is concerned in football?
Yeah, I expect Clemson to have a bounce back. If you want to call it bounce back, you know, everybody looked at Clemson, they lost three games or something last year, and everybody, what happened to Clemson? But they just didn't have the quarterback play that we'd been used to seeing with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. And so that's a big, I think they're going to have a bounce back, you know. I think they're going to be, you know, really good and going to be probably Wake Forest in NC State's side of the ACC. They'll be strong with Sam Hartman coming back. So and other players too, not just Sam, but other players. But I talk a lot about quarterbacks. I was a former quarterback, but I think everybody kind of gets it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You got somebody that's really outstanding at that position. You got a chance to be pretty good, and that's what those teams. You know, Clemson still questions out whether their quarterback can make things happen. But Wake Forest, there's no question that Sam Hartman is a player.
No doubt, Johnny. It's going to be great this year. And Bubba has a question for you. Thoughts on Malik Cunningham at Louisville?
Oh, I love watching him play. I love him watching him play. You know, when I played, the quarterback used to run the football. Maybe not as fast as Malik, but we, you know, there was an emphasis on running. You know, equal emphasis on running and throwing. And that's Malik. He kind of takes me back to those old Twin Veer days that we used to run the option, and of course he does a lot of other flashier things than we used to do. But I'm very high on Malik Cunningham as well. I think Sam Hartman has more people around him, so that's why I would put Wake and Sam a little bit ahead of Malik. But Louisville, they can compete at a high level as well.
No doubt it's going to be great this year. I can't wait. I think after I was telling Johnny, after having the USFL this season in the spring, I've been jacked up ready for college and pro football more than I ever have in my entire life. So not to hype it up, but can't wait for September 3rd. Before we let you go, one final thing. How can everybody listen to you and Gary Hahn there on the Wolfpack Network?
Yeah, 101.5 FM here in Raleigh. And of course, Tony Haynes plays an integral part of our broadcast team, as everybody knows. And this is going to be, we've got a veteran team. You know, I think Tony is the least veteran from a Wolfpack standpoint, yeah. And he's got like 25 years with the Wolfpack. And Gary's got close to 30. And can you believe that I'm going to be doing my 38th season? On the radio, the first seven with on the sidelines, and then whatever the math is, the last 31 up in the booth. So it's fun to work with guys that you enjoy being around and that are real professional. So that's the way you can tune in to listen to Wolfpack football.
All right, Johnny, looking forward to the game on September 3rd. If we get a chance, I'll say hello in Greenville. Thank you so much. You've been good to us for the last few years, coming on to talk NC State football, and we look forward to seeing you very soon. And don't be a stranger. Love to have you back.
Yeah, man. You call me anytime. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Take care. All right. Good night, Johnny. I appreciate him. What a great guy. And Bubba, I tell you what, he actually does a great job with, we'll have to get him on sometime to talk to Johnny about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He does a great job with that as well. We're running out of time, and I know we had him on long. So anyway, it's a great time to be a Pirate, as we talked about. We want to mention to you one of the things, if you haven't joined the Pirate Club, there's a big event. The football luncheon's coming up. Call them, but you have to be a Pirate Club member. Call them, 252-737-4540. It's great, and they have that football luncheon kickoff is coming up on August the 22nd. I believe that's a Monday, but that's coming up literally a week or so before the season. They're doing it again this year. Tickets are only $30, but you have to register by August the 15th. So those of you that are Pirate fans, if you get a chance, go ahead and ask for that day off. And it's going to be great. Only $30, and you get to meet the whole coaching staff. I know John Gilbert's going to be there, Blake Harrell, and Donnie Kay, obviously Mike Houston. You can actually, if you give like $350 for the table, you can have one of the coaches sit with you, but only $30, great deal. And simply you can go to ecpirates.com and click on actually one of the things, special events, I think under tickets for that. So big deal there. Make sure, by the way, if you haven't done so, I know, make sure that you get your, I think you can still, Bubba, can you still get season tickets? If so, call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. I believe they're going to still let you do that.
You can still order season tickets. Don't be confused just because single game tickets went on sale. You can definitely order your season tickets. And last we heard was we were right around 14,500, which was an increase of several hundred from a season ago. And obviously our high water mark was back several seasons ago. I want to say it was 2011, something like that. A couple years into the Ruffin McNeil era where we sold 24,000. But you know, hopefully we'll blow that 15,000 number out of the water. There's no reason we shouldn't, you know, with the home games that we have, 7 home games, including that season opener against NC State, UCF, Houston, Navy, obviously Old Dominion, Campbell, and another conference game, Memphis. So tremendous home schedule. So Pirate Nation, step up, get those season tickets if you have not already done so. And in the process, go ahead and, like Dave mentioned, call 252-737-4540, join the Pirate Club, and maybe contribute to the Pirates Unite campaign as well, as we need to raise that money, because remember, we will not break ground on the IPF, the indoor practice facility, until that, you know, 15 to 20 million, whatever the price tag ends up being, is raised, and we'll not break ground until the money's in hand. So let's get it done, Pirate Nation.
Exactly. And by the way, not to toot my own horn, but I actually, Bubba, I pledged $2,500 altogether. I was thinking about giving $1,000, and I started thinking about all the different projects, since they're very special and important to me, including number one, I think there's 1A and B with the indoor practice facility, and certainly with all the stuff that Cliff Godwin wants with the baseball program and Menjie's. You know, last time Menjie's became Williams Arena, I was a senior in, I was going to say high school, senior in college at ECU when Williams Arena was being renovated. That's how long ago, when they started that in 1995 with the construction on that. So been way too long, it's way overdue. And I know the women's locker rooms there for the swim team and all kinds of cool stuff, right, Bubba, for Pirates Unite.
Yep. And, you know, kind of going back to the Pirate Club donations, obviously with the Pirate Club donation, if you've been a member before, you're probably aware that you can, you know, break it down monthly to make it more manageable. Same thing with the Pirates Unite. You don't have to give in one lump sum if you want to, great. But if not, you can break that down into payments. So I just wanted to chime in with that if you had not already mentioned it.
No, Bubba, I hadn't. That's a great point. And that's something also, here's the deal, folks. This is where those of us that have been wanting this for a long time, that's why I was planning on to give $1,000. I said, what the heck? I'm going to give $2,500. Bubba makes a great point. You can make payments. You know, folks, if you literally are like me and you're doing these streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all that, Disney Plus and all that, then you could afford to be a Pirate Club member. It's that simple. Bubba is like, what, $120 a year or something like that. I mean, it's next to nothing. And that's what we're paying for the entertainment as far as streaming services. So why not take that same amount of money? And hey, think about all the people that go to Starbucks, Bubba, and maybe not Bubba, but I have to avoid Starbucks because it's so expensive. But $5 or $6,
hey, what are you trying to say, coffee, no, you can avoid that for. No, I'm just giving you tough time because what you were saying as far as Starbucks, and no, Starbucks is undoubtedly, you know, a little pricey for what it is, but no, I've been to Starbucks actually more than I thought I would have over the last several months. I found something on the menu that I became or, you know, had a weakness for their I guess their caramel frappuccino.
Oh yeah, wow, that's good stuff there, no doubt about it. And what I'm pointing out, Bubba, say if it's $5 or $6 for coffee there. Whatever you get a specialty drink there, whatever, you do that a couple times a month, right? That's the cost of the Pirate Club. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. And I think we need to put more of an emphasis on raising money for the Pirates. Look, we have finally, how many times have we talked about in this program? We have a great coach, a great team in Mike Houston. Basketball, I'm sure, is going to be around the corner. We'll have that good. Baseball is doing well. There's a lot of Olympic sports doing very, very well right now. With these upgrades, we have the facilities, and with all the stuff with the NIL, when we were talking with Vern Davenport of Team Boneyard earlier, all this stuff is so exciting right now. All you have to do is simply join the team, and literally, Bubba and I don't get a dime for advocating for the Pirate Club. We're doing it out of the goodness of our heart because we want to see our team, East Carolina University, the Pirates, go to levels we've never seen before. And there's a lot of people out there right now that can, we're not talking about, we appreciate the big donors, but where the growth of our program is the donors that give $100, $1,000 a year, and that range, that's where the juice is. And we need more of you. If you've never given the Pirate Club, a lot of you probably that are watching our show or listening to the podcast, already Pirate Club members, but if you're not, we know people right now that are graduates who haven't given. Bubba, I have a friend of mine I didn't tell you about, but he told me recently off air, he's still not going to give to the Pirate Club and give to the university because of the firing of Ruffin McNeil, who he dearly loves. Now, I want to say, man, that was a long time ago, almost 7 years ago, the end of this year. But hey, people still, it still stings. December 4th, 2015 was a bad day for Pirate football when Ruffin was let go. And there's a lot of people that unfortunately, they're just not going to give. So we can't rely on those folks. We have to create new folks. And hopefully we can very soon. Bubba, if you don't have any, do you have anything else?
Yeah, very quickly, I wanted to chime in to correct myself. Earlier I said it was year 9 for Dave Dorn. It's actually year 10 because his first season was way back in 2013. So this will actually be Dave Dorn's 10th season at NC State. Just generally try to get facts like that correct. So I wanted to make that correction. And, you know, it stands out that 2013 was his first season because that was a fun day in Raleigh when Ruffin McNeil and the Pirates, I think it was 42-28, but it was nowhere near that close. We led 42-14 with just over a minute to play.
No question about it. And I tell you what, folks, again, get your tickets now. 1-800-ECU. You can do that. I call them all the time. And by the way, Bubba, I want to give a shout out to the good folks at the ticket office, Cameron Spain. Coleman Spain and everybody at the ticket office are working their tails off right now. I tell you what, I do love them. Let's make their job even harder. Let's get those tickets, a whole bunch of people calling 1-800-ECU. You can blame me if you want. That's fine, because that means that we're making money and the cash register is ringing for our great university. Bubba, I know before we go, we've got a big show on Thursday night, right? For people that are tuning in now, we've got another.
On Thursday night, we'll be joined by Brian Medor, in addition to Pete Medhurst. So, you know, we'll talk East Carolina athletics from Brian Medor's perspective. He's obviously a longtime member of the athletic department in a video producing role. Wears a variety of hats, really. So we'll talk to him, maybe, you know, get a side note or two, you know, a little scoop on this year's entrance video, something along those lines. And who knows what we'll talk about with Medor. And then, like I mentioned, Pete Medhurst, the play-by-play voice of the Navy midshipman, who we have on multiple times a year. He'll join us to give a sneak preview, early look at Ken Niumatalolo's ball club.
Sounds great. And Pete is great. And Medor, man, Medor has been so good to me for so many years. I think Medor, I believe, started at ECU 2 years before, 2 or 3 years before I did. I want to say Medor, not to give his age, but I believe in 1989. I have to check with him. I got to text him after the show, but I believe that's right. He came a couple years before I did. He's been so good to me for many, many years as a person and professionally. And I tell you what, it's fighting words if anybody says anything bad about Medor, okay? No doubt. I want to thank our great guest tonight, Bubba. Did you have anything? I'm sorry.
Hey, no problem. I was just also going to promote. I had the opportunity yesterday afternoon to catch up with Connor Norby, former Pirate second baseman, All-American. Now he is up in Bowie with the Bowie Bay Sox, AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. So Connor Norby is quickly ascending through the minors.
No doubt about it. By the way, congratulations again to Bryson Worrell, who signed a deal with Atlanta Braves. And I know Bubba Rosenbaum is very happy about that, being a Braves fan. And our sister podcast, Talking Racing with Mike Ray. Mike Ray is a huge, huge Atlanta Braves fan. So when I told him about Bryson, I said, watch out for him. I know he's got a great shot in the – what a great kid he is from Sims, North Carolina, outside of Wilson, and what a great career he had at East Carolina, especially this year for sure. Want to thank Vern Davenport for Team Boneyard. You can go to teamboneyard.org and find out more about that collective. And certainly, how about we want to make sure that, too, I want to mention – how about C.J. Mayhew to the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels, and Zach Agnos to the Rockies, and Carson Wisenhunt to the Giants. So congratulations. That just tells you how great our program is, folks, the great talent that we have, and what a great coaching staff we have with the likes of Jeff Palumbo, who does a great job as recruiting coordinator, and Cliff Godwin and company. And I want to thank them for the great job they did at the CG23 baseball camp as well last week. My son Alexander has been over the moon. Like, he's just like about ECU baseball more than ever. Want to give a shout out to Mark Benakazi of PGXGloves.com. Hey, folks, take it from me personally. I bought my kids stuff from PGX Gloves. I even have a really cool hat that I bought. They have custom batting gloves, custom baseball gloves. They have football gloves. They have golf gloves if you're a golfer. Great swag and apparel more. And hey, how about this? They have a promo code. You put ECU in the promo code and you get 25% off. That's our great relationship with Kaz. And it's pgxgloves.com. I tell you what, my son, his baseball team, the kids love those gloves. It's totally different than what you see anywhere. You can even get, I even have my son, Alexander, playing baseball. He has his batting gloves. My daughter, Mackenzie, her favorite color is red. She has the red gloves and her name on it. You can do that. It makes great birthday gifts. Or if you're, a lot of people have been doing Christmas in July, great Christmas gifts too. Right, Bubba? Well, I guess he couldn't hear me, but.
Undoubtedly, you know. Really appreciate Kaz's support of the program, and couldn't hear you here. As you can tell in the background, as you've heard throughout the show, the variety of sound effects and music. I'm at the Cannonballers game against the Columbia Fireflies, Kannapolis, playing pretty good baseball. Last year, it was atrocious, but this year, in the second half at least, I'm not sure how they closed out the first half, but in the second half, I think they're 15-8 coming into the night, half game lead on the Columbia Fireflies. So looking to go up a game and a half, 5-4 ball game here in the bottom of the sixth inning.
Well, I tell you what, you and I had a chance to be with you there to see that ballpark. We met up 2 years ago, I guess it was during the early days of the pandemic, and we got to hang out some. And what a great ballpark that is, that bar that's out there and the outfield. And no, Bubba and I did not have any pirate beverages, but we got a chance to hang out and spend time and walk around that area. It's beautiful what they've done there. All right, we'll get out of here. Thank you, Vern Davenport. Again, a Team Boneyard. You can go to teamboneyard.org. Johnny Evans, the 38th year, hard to believe, of the Wolfpack Network. He has a big game September 3rd. Again, get your tickets, folks. There's going to be a lot of red and white if you don't. For NC State, just go to simply 1-800-DIAL-ECU. You can call them tomorrow during regular business hours or anytime at ecupirates.com. We'll get out of here. Be back on Thursday night. Enjoyed it. If you've been watching or listening to the Sports Objective, good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul, and I don't back down, not at all.